And this morning we're going to be talking about a specific interruption that has to do with each and every one of us, and that is death. Death interrupted is what we're going to be talking about today. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I know, you know, right off the bat you're like, well, I came on a great day, didn't I? We're talking about death. I want to encourage you. Some of the stuff that we're going to talk about this morning is specifically for you. There's no accident as to why you're sitting in this room this morning. There's no accident as to why I've spent a good amount of time studying for this message. I want to ask you just to pray with me for just a moment before we get into this. God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have, God, to approach you and to find out, Lord, what it is that you want us to know from your scripture about death. God, I think so many of us have it figured out, as so we think, to the point that we're probably missing some things. God, I pray, Lord, that this morning that we wouldn't miss what you want for our lives. God, we love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. I've loved doing this series. I know one week I kept you almost like an hour. I love it so much. Because so many of us, I think, have to deal with the interruptions in our life on a daily basis. And for so many of us, we don't always respond the way God would want us to many of the interruptions that come in our life. And I guess that's really the question that I've wanted to pose throughout this series, and I've done it several times, and I'm going to do it today. But what is our response to when those interruptions happen in our life? When someone disappoints you, someone fails you, when something big goes down in your life, how do you respond? And I think that one of the most important things for us to know about being a Christian is that the people around us are watching our responses. But even more importantly than us being worried about what other people see with us, I hope that we're more worried about what God sees in us. I hope that our response is something that glorifies Him, something that points to the fact that we trust in Him wholeheartedly, not just like, you know, Sunday morning chit-chat talk of, oh yeah, I love Jesus and yeah, I trust in God and all this stuff. No, I'm talking about like the all the time I trust in who He is. Death interrupted brings something for us. One of the things is that we have to face the fact that one day we are going to die. Everybody in this room is going to die. That's something that we can't get around. I don't know anybody in here that can say, oh, you know what, I got this one beat. You might have a lot of things in life beat, but this is not one of them. This is one that's got you down for the count. It is coming for you. Truth is it's not something for us to necessarily be scared of. And so many of us are. So many of us may sit and think, and in fact, many of us, we don't want to think about this. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to hear about it. And probably some of you right now are even just a little bit uneasy with the fact that you're sitting in a service where somebody is talking about death. Well, the fact is that death is the interrupter to our lives. Life ends with death. But there is a couple of different kinds of death. And number one, there is bodily death. And we know bodily death as being our life, our heart stops beating, and our life here on earth, bodily form, is over. And with bodily death, we know that we can't beat it. But there is a second kind of death. And the second kind of death is really what I want to talk to you about today. And that may be kind of a relief for some of you in here right now. You're thinking, yeah, I really don't want to sit around and talk about funeral homes and all of these things that we think about when we think about death. The death that I really want to talk to you about today is spiritual death. And I'll be honest with you. There are a lot of people, and I have a feeling there are a lot of people in this room that are facing spiritual death today. The spiritual death that I'm talking about is the kind that is the only kind of death when we need to fear the reaper. Otherwise, we don't need to be worried about our bodily death. When bodily death comes to someone who has spiritual life, we don't have to worry about that. 24 Church was started on the basis that God wants us to have life and that we wanted to share that life with as many people as possible. That life is the life that God has given us. Spiritual death is not death to the flesh, but it's death to the spirit. I'll just kind of throw something out here for you. I know a lot of us, a lot of times, we may think about death, and we may think about, you know, well, I hope I've got things right and everything's in order. And this morning, I want to talk for just a few moments about what brings spiritual death. And let me just give you the basis of what brings spiritual death, and that is sin. Sin brings death to the soul. We have a passage in 1 Corinthians that we're going to look at here in just a minute. At the core of the Christian message, at the core of what Christianity should be teaching, if it's teaching from Scripture, is that we can beat death. We can interrupt death. You see, we don't have to have spiritual death. This is something that God has offered up to us. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But we can interrupt death. And I'll tell you what, that is something in of itself to celebrate. That's something to be excited about. That's something for us to want to share with people. That we found the key to this thing that is life-changing. Eternity-changing. I want us to look at this passage in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 15, the latter part of verse 54, it starts and it says this: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Death has been swallowed up by victory. I don't know about you, that's good news. I like to hear that there is victory over something that I have no power over myself. I can't beat death by myself. But God has made a way. If body death is all we've got, if this living, breathing life, this thing that we walk around in and talk out of and all that good stuff all the time, let me tell you what, if that's all we've got, then we're crazy for setting in here this morning. We're crazy for the work that has been put into setting it up, to tearing it down, to what kids' workers are doing right now. I'm just telling you, we're nuts. But it's not all there is. Bodily death is not the end of things. It's just something that we've been given on loan to do what God has called us to do for a time period when we live here on earth. Spiritual death is a thing that I'm afraid is creeping up on so many people. And I'll just go ahead and I want to throw this out here to you. I'm afraid that we have a lot of church people that are spiritually dead. And you can usually tell spiritual death by the fruit of somebody's life. If they're pouring out into other people, if they're loving on other people, if they're serving God, then there is no doubt, man, God, gosh, man, they're just doing great things for the Lord. It's obvious God is working in their life. But I'll tell you what, there's even some things to that, and I'll point to Luke 11, and we're not going to look at that this morning, but if you want to check it out, Luke 11, starting with verse 37 and the rest of that chapter, you'll see a passage of Scripture where Jesus is hanging out with the Pharisees, and He's telling them, hey guys, You guys are doing great at going to church. You're looking good. And as a matter of fact, I've noticed that you sit in the seats in the front so that everybody can see you. And you've been doing a lot of stuff so that you look good. And I'm afraid a lot of church people fall into this. Spiritual death is something that can overcome us at any point along the way. And even as a believer, Satan will fight for pieces of our walk in our life, our willingness to serve. I'm burned out. I'm tired. I've given so much. I'm so busy during the week. There's a time to take a break. But there's a time to grow up spiritually and be who God wants you to be and quit making excuses. Jesus goes on with the Pharisees and talks a lot in that passage of Scripture. I really encourage you, and I'll say again, Luke 11, verse 37 through the following. I really encourage you to read that when you get home if you're a believer today. Guard yourself from what those guys were falling into and what Jesus was teaching about there. So, bodily death's not all. Spiritual death is what we need to be worried about. If spiritual death is what we need to be worried about, then, of course, the question is, well, how do I overcome spiritual death? How do I make it past the fact that, what do I do from here? Where do I go from here? Well, it says in this passage of Scripture in verse 56 in 1 Corinthians, it says, the sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. You see, sin makes us, the Bible talks about this, sin makes us dormant. It makes us useless. So many of us find ourselves in a spot in life where we're like, I'm just not growing spiritually. Well, I really encourage you, look at your life. What is your life about? What are you about? Who are you for? I'm just going to throw this out there. I mean, and we all struggle with this, and I'm going to put myself out there as number one. We all struggle with this balancing act of trying to put God before ourselves, before our stuff, but especially ourselves. And maybe today, maybe just kind of sitting here and thinking about this who am I for question, maybe the answer to that in your life right now is, you know what, I'm for me. I'm taking care of number one. I'm watching out for myself. You definitely got to take care of yourself. You've definitely got to pay attention to your life and what it's about. But you do it. You do it through the eyes of Scripture. You do it through who God has called you to be. You do it through putting Him first. And I'll tell you what happens. This is an amazing thing. This is so amazing. And I'll just tell you, it is so awesome getting to see God change people's lives. And here in the last few weeks, we've had, it's like four people come to Christ in about the last month and a half. Maybe more than that, I'm not sure. But in the last few weeks, as we've seen all these people come to Christ, I can see a visual difference in their life. And some of these people are people that have never been in church in their life. They didn't come in like some of us did, and we grew up in church, and I'm one of those who learned how to play a game, and it's like, okay, you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you're playing this game, and you're kind of faking your way through the whole thing until you just kind of decide whether or not you really believe or whatever. But for so many of them, they are literally just having faith in Christ, and He is changing their life. And I'm afraid for so many of us, we've missed that. We've missed that becoming a Christian is not about going to church. 24 Rush tonight, having a membership class, it's a great thing. But you know what? Becoming a member at 24 Church is not going to save you. It's not going to bring you spiritual life. Being in great church attendance, going to a midweek Bible study, not going to do it. Knowing Christ in your heart is the only way. Sting of death is sin. And sin separates us from God. You see, and here's just a little thing. Sin, imperfection. I just want to make this, you know, I think a lot of people get caught up in these words and they just like, oh, sin, imperfection, justification, you know, all this stuff. Listen, just real simple, I'm going to put it to you like this. Sin, imperfection. God, perfect. Perfect cannot hang out with imperfection. As a matter of fact, you may have found yourself in worship at times when maybe you're in here worshiping God, you're a believer or whatever, and you're just singing your heart out, and all of a sudden, something just hits you like a ton of bricks, and you realize there's some stuff going on in your life. And you're like, you know what? I did not come here this morning to get into all of this going on in my life. I'd rather just pretend like that's not really happening. I'd rather pretend like that sin doesn't really exist. But the truth is that sin cannot hang out with God. And when we get with God and we worship Him and we spend time with Him in His Word, in prayer, here's what begins to happen. Those things start to bleed through in who we are, because when we are next to perfect, our imperfections come out. This is a good thing, because we want to work on those things. We want to be better about those things. But the truth is that sin separates us from God. Well, then, if sin separates us from God, then how do we get to God? How can I become a Christian? How can I have a relationship with God? Because I've got sin in my life, right? You got sin in your life? Well, of course you do. Of course you do. Hey, God only gave us 10 commandments. It goes on right after this in this passage of Scripture. In verse 56, the sting of death is sin. And here it says, and the power of sin is the law. What's the law? Well, it's what they had as the Old Testament. And what's a part of that? The biggest thing that everybody back in the day they were trying to keep is what? The Ten Commandments. You've seen the movie with, you know, like the thing and the deal broke in half and everything. It's old. It's an old movie. Maybe you didn't see it. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. The law, the Ten Commandments. Who in here has kept the Ten Commandments? I want to meet you. Who in here has kept one of the Ten Commandments? I mean, let's just go to like one of the extreme ones. You know, because, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I've kept one of the commandments. I'm like, oh, really? Which one? Well, I haven't killed anybody. So I must be going to heaven because I haven't killed anybody, so I'm good to go. Don't worry about the other nine. Honor your father and mother. Just don't talk about that one. No, there's not a one of those that any of us in this room has kept. You see, Jesus brought it down when he said, if you have even thought a malicious thought toward an enemy or a brother, you have done as good as killing them. You've done as good as murder. You see, our sin separates us from God. And I know if you're like me, that when I finally understood this, when I finally understood that God loved me and He wanted to have a relationship with me, but then I understood that sin separates me from Him, how in the world could I get to be with Him? How in the world could one day that when my body gives out, how in the world could He not send me to eternal torment? Why would He not send me to hell? Well, this passage goes on. It says, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's good. That's real good. That's another one of those victory statements right there. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I need that. We all need that. And here's one of the most amazing things about the entire deal. Number one, I don't want to spend eternity disconnected from God. separated from God. I want to spend it with Him. The most amazing points in my life, if I go back and I track any of them, the most amazing things that have ever happened in my life have happened when it's been surrounded with me trying to please God and giving Him the glory in whatever that thing was. And in that, God doing an amazing work in my life. And I'll just tell you, if you haven't tried it, you need to give it a shot. Power of sin is law, sinful death. We can't overcome the sin except through Christ. Well, grew up preacher's kid, lived in my dad's car most of the time. We go to hospitals, go to nursing homes, go to funeral homes. I grew up in these places. These are places that I just kind of like, you know, second house to me. I remember one funeral home when I was a small child in the hometown where I grew up in Western Kentucky. They had a bottle Coke machine in the little, you know, waiting area. It was such a glorious thing. You know, some days I would hope that we would go to the funeral home and be like, hey, Dad picked me up from school and David, hey, we're going to the funeral home today? Be like, no, not today. Not today, everybody's okay. Like, all right. I lived, my wife and I, Aaron, we lived by a funeral home when we were in youth ministry. Unbelievable thing. Family, friends that just basically stepped up to the plate, knew that we were young ministers and knew we were making squat, and just said, you know what, we want to do something for you. We have a little thing over the garage that holds the hearse and the other stuff, cars that they have there. And, you know, it's a really nice place, and if you guys want to rent it, man, it's yours, like $200 a month. And we were like, we're there. And so we moved in by the funeral home, over the garage. And I'll just tell you what, man, that's some interesting stuff. I'd come home, it'd be like middle of the afternoon, man, I'd been out at the car wash, washing my car up or something. I'd come home and have to, like, drive through the crowd to get back to our house, where we lived, this little apartment. And God really provided for us through that in that time in our life. And I'll just tell you, the thing that was great about that to me, and I thought about this a lot, the thing that was great about that is you would see all kinds of funerals. You could almost gauge what the funeral was going to be like by the crowds. And sometimes when there were just tons and tons of cars, and the cars were spilling over out into the streets, you knew that someone young had died. You knew that somebody that had a lot of friends or a lot of people that cared about a family or an individual had passed away. And it kept this constant reminder right in front of me as a youth pastor. And I don't ever forget about that. And the constant reminder is this, is that death is coming. And followed behind it, for many people in their life, is spiritual death. And man, that just breaks my heart. And it puts everything in perspective. And it reminds me of why we're here doing what we're doing. Bodily death cannot be interrupted, but spiritual death can be interrupted. You know, the thing that I hear from so many people is, well, you know, I'm probably going to heaven. And I say, well, really, well, how, you know, you know the Lord? Well, no, I've got it figured out. You know, I kind of gauge myself, and I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good person. I've got, you know, I've lived a good life. I've done a lot of good things for a lot of people. And I'm afraid that so many people are sitting around today trying to figure out how good is going to be good enough to get to heaven and ignoring what Christ Himself came and did. You see, God Himself understood that He Himself could not just look at all of us, and I'm throwing myself in here because I'll be the biggest sinner in the room if nobody else will admit it. God can't just look at us and just wink and be like, oh, you know what? Your sins are gone. Don't worry about it. It's all good. We're good. I love you. You come up here. You know, we have this idea that we've got this grandpa God. And that grandpa God is just waiting up there for us. And he's like, hey, everybody, just come on in now. We got blankets all over the place. Everybody just sit on the ground and we're going to have a good time. You see, God can't deny himself. He's just. And in being just, he understood that the only thing that could take our death was death. And he sent his son to do that. The power of sin, there's no escaping it. It's on us. It's been on us since the day we were born. But with Christ, the power of sin was never in his life. You see, he was born alive. And when I mean alive, I don't mean bodily alive. Yeah, he was alive bodily. But Christ was born alive spiritually. And he lived his life alive. And when he died, he was alive. And his life brought to bodily death has given you and I spiritual life, if we'll receive it. I hope God is a part of your life. And I don't mean as in sitting on a coffee table or a figurine sitting on a mantle. I hope that he lives inside of you. I hope that you have at some point in your life come to the realization that your sin can't hang out with him. I hope that you've come to this point where you realize and you have received the grace that he so freely gives to us by believing in him. God wants to do that in our life. As a matter of fact, excuse me. As a matter of fact, we see in Scripture, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, God paid for me and you to get the ticket to spend eternity with him. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it, but he wanted to do that. He wanted us to be able to live alive. And I'm afraid that so many of us today are living dead. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ came and he interrupted death. And for us, it leaves us living a life that if we're to follow him, that we try to die daily. Dying daily means basically turning from ourselves, what we want, to the sin that so tempts us to do the things that we're not supposed to be a part of, that God knows so much better for us in our life, that if it's in there, it's going to just tear and rip us apart. Our families, our life, our jobs, our relationships. God knows better for us. And instead, some people want to just see it as rules and regulations and don't want to have anything to do with it. God wants so desperately for us to know him and has made a way for us to do so. We have the chance to kick death in the face by dying daily. And I just pose the question right now and just ask, you know, where are you at with this? Where are you at with this? And I know if you're like me, when I finally came to grips with it, by that point in my life, I had been playing church for a long time. And I didn't want to say anything, and I didn't want to bother anybody, and I didn't want people to think less of me. When it was really all the exact opposite, people were rejoicing in the fact that I had finally come to Christ. And I'm sure that those people around that time in my life could figure out that I didn't know Him to begin with and had been playing a game all along. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, you know, maybe I should do that. And I'm going to encourage you in that. I think you should. Because it's the best thing that will ever happen to you. And for us to understand that we can only interrupt spiritual death by receiving God's grace. But maybe you're a believer here today. Maybe you already know the Lord, without a doubt. But maybe you're fighting spiritual death in your life because you've just burned out. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you can't even bring yourself to open this up during the week and just listen to what God wants to say to you. This is not a book report, by the way. God wants to speak to your heart through this. This is the way to a relationship with Him. The last thing that we can do to interrupt death is to lead others to life. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about leading others to life. I mean, it gets all over me. It gets all over me. I look forward so much to just getting to see other people come to Christ. Getting to share what it means, what He's done in my life. There is no secret. Bodily death is going to come. This is this week's exchange. It's our local newspaper. For those of you that are not from here locally, got a goofy guy down at the bottom. Every week, week by week, you can open this up and you can see bodily death. In fact, this week we have a 17-year-old girl that went to the local high school, got killed in a car accident. And I think for so many of us, death is just one of those things that we just brush it aside and we say, you know what? I'm not worried about it. I got plenty of time. The truth is we might not make it to the end of the week. And I don't tell you that for a scare tactic, because the last thing I ever want anybody to do is just give their heart to Christ for fire insurance. I tell you that because the truth is that we can't interrupt bodily death. And for many of us in this room this morning, spiritual death is trailing right behind our bodily death that is coming, and we know that it is coming. Many of us think that we're going to heaven. Actually, I know I'm going to heaven because God has completely renovated my life. And He wants to do that for you this morning. And in just a few minutes, the band will be playing. And while they're playing, I'm going to go out in the hall. A couple of the other pastors are going to be out in the hall with me. I'd love to get to talk with you anytime after the service. If you want to talk about anything other than this, don't come out there. But if you are interested in talking to one of us about what it means to know Christ as your personal Savior, I don't care if you've gone to church all of your life. If you've just got the smallest question and you just want to know for sure, that's why we will be out there. We're not going to be out there to talk about agendas or church stuff or whatever. We're out there talking about Christ coming into people's hearts. And I know good and well in a room full of people this big that there are multiple people that are dying a spiritual death. You see, the tragedy to God is not that a young person will die knowing Him. The tragedy to God is that we might grow old and never live. Don't let that be your tragedy. You can know Him today. Let's pray together. God, I thank You so much, God, for who You are. I know that there are some people sitting here this morning that they're saying, you know what? I've heard all this before. I already know You, Lord. But God, I still know that there's a reason why they're here and that you've been speaking to their hearts today. And God, I'm praying right now that you will work in their heart, that they will not be able to ignore you. God, for that person that's here today, God, that does not know you, God, I pray, Lord, that they just will slip out in just a few minutes, anytime during the songs that the band is going to play, that they'll look away from the excuses that they may find, but God, that they will do what it takes, God, to just come out and just talk to somebody. God, this is not about us joining churches or signing to a statement of belief or anything else. God, this is about us knowing you as our personal Lord and Savior. God, it took the death of your Son to take the spiritual death from our life. God, I pray, Lord, that we can see that today. God, if there's anyone here today, God, that is in that situation, God, that they would run to you this morning. God, that they would come to you. God, there is victory in who you are and for what you've done in our life. God, I pray, Lord, that we would celebrate that we would rejoice in that. God, as we give to you this morning, as we worship you this morning, God, would you get our best? Because, God, that's all you deserve, is all we've got. We love you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.